Again, it's Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and preaching of his holy word. You may be seated. Have you ever been startled awake in the middle of the night? You hear a sound, an unfamiliar sound, and you feel the need to try and find out where that sound came from. But because it's dark, you are going by your understanding of the way things are. And you forget that there are slippers in your path. You forget that there's a laundry basket in your path. You forget that you moved a chair earlier in the day, and that's in your way. Sometimes when we are in the dark and disoriented, it is difficult to see what is really taking place. We go by what we remember. But sometimes what we assume, what we remember, what we can bring to mind at the moment is wrong. And we bump into the doorway, or we trip over the slippers or laundry basket, or we skin our shin on a piece of furniture. That's what's happening here as we read Mark chapter 16. The women of Mark 16 are doing what they assumed they could do. After sunset on the Sabbath, they went out and purchased spices, aromatics, ointments, lotions, in order to be able at first light to go to the tomb and do what they could to honor Jesus who had died. They went to visit their recently departed friend early in the morning. But then, even though Mark is the shortest of the gospel accounts, but then, even though Mark doesn't mention anyone seeing Jesus, but then, even though Mark doesn't state that anyone heard Jesus, there are details here that are significant. The sun rose. We know by a pinpoint of accuracy, we could scientifically go back in time and know exactly when the women arrived at that tomb. Because it says very early in the morning, and very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they come to the tomb. They're on their way. What I want you to think about this morning is how going to the tomb can make a difference. And the first thing I want you to think about is that the encounter at the tomb can remind us that our assumptions are not always correct. I don't know about you, but I make a lot of assumptions. Not necessarily uninformed assumptions, but assumptions. It's going to be cold today. It's going to be sunny today. There's going to be traffic. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be joy. There's going to be all sorts of things. We make assumptions all the time. The women made assumptions. There are three women: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, or Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, who is the mother of Zebedee's sons, James and John. They were at the crucifixion. You can look back at Mark 15:47. They were at the crucifixion. They understood that there was... They went to the place where the tomb where Jesus was buried. They knew where he was. They knew where he was going to be. They decided, okay, before sunset, we need to go home. We need to honor the Lord of the scriptures with a Sabbath rest. And so from sunset that Friday to sunset that Saturday, they stayed at home. And then with sunset, it says that they went out and they bought spices. And they were preparing. Let's get up early. Let's go. Let's get this done before anyone else. And I was mentioning this morning to my family, there was likely other people there. Other people may have died. Other people may have needed their attention for a loved one, and so I'm sure that there were other people there. And they have a reasonable conversation while they are going. Their concern, their assumption is simple. There is a giant rock in our way. And we are three women. Who is going to help us? They felt powerless. Have you ever felt powerless to execute your plan? This is what I want to do. But there is a rock in my way. There is a locked door in my way. There is a strong personality in my way. It could be anything. And you are asking friends, you are saying, this is what I want to do. But I don't know who's going to help. I assume that this barrier is going to be there. I assume this barrier is going to be in the way, and I assume that I am going to need help. But we know from the scripture that God made a way for them. Mark doesn't record it. He simply says, they said to one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" And as they looked up, they saw that the tomb was rolled away. Matthew says that there was a great earthquake that moved the stone. And maybe that's true. Or maybe that's just what made sense at the time. I don't know how an earthquake makes a very large stone, as Mark puts it, roll up against gravity in a channel and stop. I could understand if they said, oh, look, it didn't roll away. It just fell over and we can crawl over it. But that's not what happens. God incredibly eliminates what they assumed was their barrier. Some of us have the same concern. I want to do the right thing, but I can't without help. And who is going to help me? I would like to read the Bible. I would like to be a more prayerful person. I would like to serve the church or the community. I would like to overcome this temptation. But it's too hard to get from where I am to where I want to be. Who is going to help? And while we're assuming and making plans, and while we're negotiating and working our thoughts, God is removing what stands between us and Him. God is still rolling away stones. And the stone was rolled away. But they were still unable to anoint the body. Remember, that's what they went for. Let's go and anoint the body with these aromatics. I wonder, who will help us roll away the stone? A major assumption that the stone's going to be there. Second major assumption that the body is going to be there. But they find that the body is gone. They encounter at the tomb, secondly, reminds us that our alarm is not always crushing. Our assumptions are not always correct, and our alarm is not always crushing. So they go and they look inside the tomb. When they look up, they see the stones rolled away, verse 4. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe. Really, dressed in a brilliant robe. Or a robe of brilliance. Sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. This is a word that only Mark uses. He uses it 3 times in his gospel. It really means to be amazed by, or to be astonished over, to be overwhelmed by the presence of someone or something. He uses it in Mark chapter 9, verse 15. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. He uses it again in Mark 14, 33. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, overwhelmed, amazed, undone. We understand that emotion, don't we? That we can be alarmed. We can be undone. This is not at all what I expected, and I cannot fully process it. And what does this young man, who the other gospel accounts rightly recognize as an angel, say? Do not be alarmed. The same exact word. There is no reason for you to be overwhelmed. There is no reason for you to be surprised. There is no reason for you to be undone. There is no reason for you to be alarmed. Why? Why are we not to be overwhelmed? Certainly, you're confused. You are looking at this situation and you're saying, where is this Jesus? Where's our friend? Where's our loved one? We saw him placed. We saw the stone rolled. We saw him die. And now we come back and the stone is gone and he is gone. Why? Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene. You are in the right place. This is where you are supposed to be. Your mind is not playing tricks on you. He was crucified. That is also true. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. He's not here. The tomb is empty. And you should have known that death would not restrain him. Now, some of us have the same clouded way of thinking. I want to be able to process what I'm seeing. I want to be able to make sense of it all. But I cannot. I cannot see what is right in front of me. I cannot process and I cannot understand this part of my life. It's just overwhelming. It's just unbelievable. It's just inconceivable. It's improbable. And sometimes in that moment, our thoughts go dark. Where have they taken him? One of the other gospel writers says. What have they done to him? And we need God's message, God's messengers to remind us. You are in the right place. And everything is exactly the way God intended. You are looking for Jesus the crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Look. Look at the place where they laid him. And we know from the other gospel writers that they're not saying, look at the place and notice that he's missing. But look at the place and notice that he wasn't taken. His grave clothes are still here. If his disciples stole him, they would not have touched the dead body. They would have left the grave clothes on him. His grave clothes are still here, one of the other gospel writers states. Look at the situation with eyes of faith. God is still saying to us, in those moments when we are overwhelmed with life, don't be alarmed. I'm still in control. And at that moment, their minds were cleared and they realized that they had no reason to anoint the body for burial because he is or was alive. And they went out and told the disciples just as they were told. Now, we have to assume that. There's a whole bunch written in Mark after verse 8. There's a little line there, and then there's the earliest manuscripts, and some ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. And it makes sense. You don't want to think that the scriptures gospel account, one of the gospel accounts, simply ends this way. They went out and they told no one nothing because they were afraid. But the encounter at the tomb reminds us of one more thing. Not only are our assumptions not always correct, and not always is our alarm crushing, but it reminds us that our actions are not always condemned. Mark mentions where the three women were to go. They were to go to the disciples and give them a deliberate message. The angel says, the young man says, tell them he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. This is a direct quote from a previous conversation. On the night Jesus was betrayed, in the midst of the Last Supper, we have Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. He says to his disciples, and to Peter in particular, you will all fall away, Jesus told them. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. It troubled me, preparing this message, why Jesus said, or why the angel said, tell them that Jesus is telling them, go to Galilee. They don't see Jesus in Galilee immediately. They see Jesus in Jerusalem that night. So why is he saying, I'm going to Galilee? Well, for two reasons. One, this direct quote. You will be scattered, but after I have risen, I will go with you to Galilee. And ultimately, we see in Matthew 28, verse 16, when all the disciples are together, it is on a mountainside in Galilee that Jesus says, all authority has been granted me. Therefore, make disciples. Going, baptizing, teaching, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. I will see you. I will commission you. I will call you out and I will empower you. And we are to acknowledge God's grace and mercy. Tell his disciples, I am going to be with you so that you can do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine through me. There's an added a couple words. Three in the Greek, two in our language. They are told to make sure Peter is included. Go to the disciples and Peter. Despite his boastings, he failed to follow. Despite his failings, he still counted among Christ's followers. And maybe you're here this morning thinking, I have the same history. That's the barrier. It's not that I need help. It's not that I can't get my mind around what Christ has really done. The barrier is me. I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've sinned. I've rebelled. I've denied the power of Christ in my life. Earlier in these gospel accounts, aren't you one that was with Jesus? Nope, wasn't me. Even a little girl. Aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? Forbid it. No. Maybe that's you. It was certainly me. And I hate to admit it, maybe oftentimes it is me. Sometimes rejecting what God is saying, sometimes denying he's with me, putting myself in the place where God's glory deserves. Maybe we've said, everybody else will disappoint you, but I never will. And then we go on and do something dumb. And what does Jesus say? I want you to go, angel boy, and go to the tomb. And when someone shows up, I want you to say, tell Peter, I will meet him in Galilee. God still reaches out and says, I will be with you again. Mark concludes his gospel certainly in an unusual way. They say nothing to no one, for they were afraid. It could be assumed, based on the other gospel accounts, that this refers to the words of those around the tomb. Because we know from the other gospel accounts that they do talk to the disciples. They do talk to those around. They share what they have seen and heard. And it's possible, maybe even likely, that they said, we are going to deliver this message and it will be the first words out of our mouth. We are going to go and make sure that the disciples are aware. And for the last 2,000 years, that's what we continue to do. As the church, capital C, is to declare, he is not in the grave. He is risen.
Yes.
And he will meet with you again. Mark's intent in recording the events of the resurrection remains the same. It is that everything becomes clearer after the sun rises. Because the sun rose, we need not live by our own assumptions, but with God's guidance. Because the sun rose, we do not need to live in bewilderment, but with God's promises. Because the sun rose, we need not live in rebellion and regret, but in God's redeeming grace. everything becomes clear after the sun rises. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this word, this reminder, this familiar account, this familiar story. Thank you that as a church, we celebrate over and over again. We tell the old, old story because it is life to us. We ask that you would bless your word and bless those who hear it. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.